Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and joining me once again in person is Shay Dixon. Shay, how you feeling? 11 o'clock at night.
Big win. Yeah, we don't have to keep everyone up forever, but man, that was massive. Yeah. And I've said before the game, we can talk about some of the reactions quickly afterwards, but if you wanted to get to seven wins, which would be the improvement upon the back-to-back 500 seasons, and right on with the Vegas win total of a projected seven. Yeah. This one was such a swing game. Like, if you didn't win, you were going to have to split the remaining SEC games with this win. You presume you can beat UAB. You'd be bowl eligible. Yeah, and then you'd be one away from 7-5 and potentially better. So, and if they play that well, potentially better.
Yeah, I mean, 5-2 now. 5-2 and 3-1 in conference. I mean, obviously, Auburn and Florida aren't juggernauts in the conference, but we've seen, I mean, Auburn put up, 35 on Ole Miss, you know, push them a bit. We've seen Florida put up fights with Tennessee.
Yeah.
And then Mississippi State, I still think, is a good team. Very good. I think they lost to Kentucky.
And this is Florida on the road.
Yeah.
You win in the swamp, that's impressive no matter the circumstance. So I think this is the win that makes you feel the best about the season. This makes you feel better than Mississippi State did.
100%. Because the Mississippi State game, we still didn't know, is this a fluke? Like, there was the muffed punt from Mississippi State, right? And we were like, okay, that happened, and it was still a tight game. This one, you had Anthony Richardson come out of the gates with a 51-yard touchdown pass, and you're like, okay, is this going to be more of the same where they can't stop the opposing quarterback and he just bombs it on them all game? And then Florida scores again on the second drive where they just gash them. But then from that point on, the defense, I thought, played a pretty solid game. I'm not going to say they were great, but got substantially better after those first two drives, and eventually, I think, held on enough with those three straight stops.
Right.
It gave the offense enough time to build that cushion to 42-21 and kind of go from there. So I thought the defense played fine, and then obviously we'll talk plenty about the offense and Jaden Daniels.
Right. And they come out of the gates tied at 21, yeah. Really trading the first six possessions of the game they scored touchdowns on.
Yeah.
Now, one of those drives was for Florida, 13 yards. I mean, five plays, 13 yards, and you go ahead 21-14 off of the muff punt with Jack Besh. Yeah. He got hit on that play. It looked like he didn't ever come back after that.
Yeah.
But just to talk briefly on the defense, I'm with you. Like, you look at Florida out of the gates, the long throw by Anthony Richardson. They come back the next drive. I mean, that was a two-play drive. They come back the next drive, and they run it on every play. That was a very nice drive. So defensively, you don't love that drive. 10 plays, 75 yards. They score a touchdown. Then we mentioned right before, midway through the second quarter, they get the muffed punt, only have to go 13 yards. Then they didn't score another touchdown until another two-play drive in the fourth quarter when Anthony Richardson broke free.
Yep.
And then at the end, they do a lot of running again in the fourth quarter, get an 11-play, 80-yard drive. I guess just to quickly touch on the defense, that's two busted plays. Can't have it. Got to clean it up. But to go on the road and essentially only give up two drives that were sustained
drives. Two sustained drives, really, because you have the two busted plays, you have one short field, and so obviously they all count the same, 7 points, but two real drives they allowed against Florida, which is pretty much what we expect to come in, which is why I was like, oh, I think the under 52 would be a good play. Obviously, they blew that out the water, but a lot of things went into that with how Florida was able to score the ball. Anthony Richardson ended the game with 185 passing yards. And I had the under 177.5. So the 51-yarder kind of put me behind the eight ball on that anyways. But it's not like Richardson had this fantastic game. He had a big play. He had a big throw. And other than that, they shut him down for the most part.
Defensively, I guess, wrapping up there, just they did give up 35 points, obviously. Yeah. Again, we kind of broke down how that happened. Really just two long drives. But Baskerville was great. 11 tackles, team lead, seven solos, got a sack. Had a pass breakup. He's your MVP on that side. Jay Ward, hot and cold, made some big plays. Also made some bonehead plays for him.
Yep.
Harold Perkins continues to play well when he gets put into his role. Greg Penn, at least on the stat sheet, solid night, six tackles. You know what you get from Penn at this point. Savion Jones played a good bit. And then the defensive backs did their job, I think, for the most part. You knew that Florida wasn't going to throw it a ton. They didn't. Yep. Even losing all of the second half pretty much, they still only threw it 25 times.
Yeah.
So not a game where they were going to throw it a lot. Let's quickly touch on special teams and we can spend the rest of the time on offense. Special teams comes out of the gate, 50-yard give up on the kickoff, right? Which I think everyone's like, can't they just kick it out of the end zone every time? Which I'm not even sure they can, but they did at some points in the game.
You would hope so.
But... the muff punt stands out, obviously, but let's leave him be today. It wasn't great at all. People are already mad and trying to fire everyone. I get it. But let Damian Ramos have his moment. My predicted player of the game, and I said this breakout one usually candidate. Comes down to a field goal. His field goal essentially sealed it.
Huge field goal.
But Florida extends that drive. Really, that swung the game. It was a 7-point game. Florida had scored back-to-back touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Yeah. They get another stop. And then it was Gervin Dexter on a good call by the refs. Tackles Jaden Daniels and then just takes him completely to the ground, falls on him. It was the refs right there. You're going to get that call every time.
And you know they're taught when you hit him just to roll off.
Right, and he didn't. He went straight down.
Yeah.
And then LSU, a couple false starts, pushes them back. But 47-yarder with a couple minutes left, he drains it down the middle. That was all she wrote. The defense got the stop, and it was over.
Huge. I was saying they should have kicked the first one on the 4th and 1. Because I was like,
Brian Kelly chased points again tonight in the red zone. It worked.
Like, yeah, they converted it. They were able to milk 2 more minutes off the clock and then still ended with the field goal anyway.
That drive was huge. It milked like 7 minutes off the clock at the end. Okay, let's close out the podcast, but we're not closing it right this second because now it's time to talk about the offense. The best showing they've had.
By far.
Why?
Jaden Daniels was aggressive. I think that's the word. Everybody, you can say he was precise. You can say he was able to give his receivers opportunities. I just think he was aggressive in everything he did, and he was confident. Like, there was never a real hesitation in what he was doing, whether that's because of how Florida was defending them, whether that's because Jaden just said, enough's enough, I have to win this game with my arm. 23 of 32 for 350 yards, 3 touchdowns, and the pick that wasn't picked off, so 0 interceptions. But, I mean, this was the Kayshon Boutte game we've been waiting for.
Yeah.
Right? So you find him 6 times, and you find him early, and that kind of settled everybody down. I feel like it was just huge for him to find Kayshon in those ways. And then for him to hit the shots to Brian Thomas, to
Dre Jenkins,
take the shot to Dre.
Which is a really heads-up play. I mean, you know it's a free play, but he looked right at Boutte.
Yeah.
And when he saw Boutte was a bit covered, he went to the other side and let Dre have it on one-on-one and led him. Perfect play.
Excellent. I mean, the deep ball throws were there from him for the most part in this game. And the one stat that I think is starting to tell and is starting to show what we've wanted to see from Jaden Daniels throughout the season is Mason Taylor had one target. And again, no, it's not a shot at Mason Taylor at all. He's going to be a really, really good player for this team. But for how many games in a row did we see him have 6 targets and 7 targets? And the offense was like,
Lead the team in targets.
Yeah, he would lead the team in targets. Today, 1 target. And you look at the leaders in targets, it's Kayshon and Malik. That's who it should always be.
No doubt. And early on, you look at the stat sheet, John Emery, 8 carries for 31 yards, 3 catches for 24 and a touchdown. It doesn't look like a ton. But out of the gates, to keep pace when Florida was scoring first, to get to 21-21, they were leaning on Kayshon and John Emery. I thought Mike Denbrock had a great game plan. They did some things differently that we'll go back and watch on film. Some motions, like you said, certainly not targeting Taylor as much, letting the receivers, multiple receivers, kind of get out on quicker routes. But whether it was a quick game, going deep, it all seemed to work for him. Jaden Daniels, look, as a team, 528 yards. 8 of 12 on third downs, which is great. 2 of 2 on fourth downs, which is perfect. 70 plays, averaging 7.5 yards a play. Averaged 15 yards of completion.
And those first 6 drives, I put in my recap, the first 6 drives, they averaged 8.8 yards per play.
Okay, so even better than
them. Insane.
Won the time of possession, turned the ball over once.
5 of 5 in the red zone.
5 for 5 in the red zone, great stat there.
Yeah.
Jaden goes 72% passer on 32 attempts, 350 yards, 3 touchdowns, did a bit with his legs. Only 44 yards rushing, but he gets 3 touchdowns. He did a lot of damage into the red zone, kind of just dancing around. By far his best game, and a great time to have it. On the road, get to 5-2, but have that game at the midway point of the season when it was ridiculous, and we said that LSU fans were thinking that Brian Kelly and them should make a change.
Yeah, or it was all on him or anything like,
no.
That. Yeah.
But now we saw, I think in Jaden sees, hey, look, this is what this offense can be when y'all are really clicking. I think even beyond what Denbrock schemed up tonight, they executed. And we haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Jaden delivered in ways that I'm not sure I expected him to. I saw progressions. I mean, there were times where he, I mean, how many times did he even just scramble? I feel like of his 14 rushes, I feel like a lot of them were designed. He had the draws, had the RPOs. Yeah. So it didn't even feel like he was scrambling. And this is a Florida defense with like Montrell Miller and guys that can make plays. And there was never a time where I felt like Jaden Daniels was not in control. And that's, I mean, that's huge for a quarterback to have 6 touchdowns, account for 400 yards.
It was a great, great showing. And throughout the whole game, he was on.
Yes.
I mean, he was on. He had one bad play, and it was called a pick that got called back. And again, it was at the end of the game. He had a blitz in his face. He throws it a little high.
It was a third down. I thought it was a fine shot to take.
But again, you want him taking shots.
Yes.
He did it all night, more often than not, looked great. Before we get to a game ball moment here, you said it, Butte and Neighbors are your guys that you want to be targeting. They led the target share, but Brian Thomas, man, and they called one of his plays back, which was a really big play where he went up and got it on a 50-50 ball, but his touchdown was huge.
Yeah.
He seems to be a guy a lot like a Jure that he may not be like, he'll end games as the fourth or fifth most targeted guy, but they can make the clutch play. Yes. Like, those two guys have made some big plays for them this year.
His athleticism is kind of underrated, I feel like, in a sense.
Oh,
when you think about him, obviously, he kind of gets lost in the shuffle with this room. But that he's kind of what made, and we knew he was going to come into the year. He started a lot of games last year.
Yeah.
He was kind of forgotten about. And I think I wrote in a story, I was like, what if Brian Thomas ends the year as a second leading receiver? I don't think he's that anymore. He started the year as that, like through 3 or 4 games, but he's someone that is going to slowly sneak up. And then by the end of his career, you're going to be like, oh, this guy got drafted
right,
like the 5th round or 4th round. Like, he's going to be a legitimate player for as long as he's here.
Butte came out of the gates with a 40 yard catch, his over under on
Loved
Vegas it. Was 38 yeah. yards hit on that right out of the gate.
I didn't have the guts to take
him. six for 115. You did what you did there in the pass game.
Yeah.
Kudos to Jaden Daniels. Did it with his legs, but more importantly, did it with his arm, was decisive. Wide receivers caught it, made plays. Tell me your reaction here. And I love it. I don't think you're going to say you don't like it. Jaden Daniels was responsible for every touchdown they scored or had a hand in it. Damian Ramos kicked the winner at the end. But a guy who scored no touchdowns today and didn't even start the game. Well, maybe he did. Got the game ball from Brian Kelly. Walk-on Josh Williams goes for 14 carries, 106 yards, 7.6 yards a carry. And when they needed to ice it, he iced it.
Yeah, I mean, he's the back we talked about in the preview podcast, where it's like, you know what you're getting with Josh Williams at this point, right? John Emery, I think, there's a reason why he's on the field and he can catch passes. He can be a dynamic runner at times. But Josh Williams had a 50-yard run. I mean, I'm not saying it was electric. It wasn't Armani Goodwin-esque, but he's proving to be by far the most consistent back. And I think that's what you want. And pass protection that's huge as well for this offense with the offensive line question marks. I mean, even though I think the offensive line played pretty well overall, I mean, to have Josh Williams there as...
They played well enough for us not to think it was
exactly,
an issue.
Exactly. So, but to have Josh Williams there in pass protection was huge as well. And that's what Brian Kelly said. It's like, to have him there as like a calming presence with Jaden Daniels by his side, it's like, you know, he's not going to have a bust in protection. You know, he's not going to let a linebacker come right up your grill and hit you. So, I mean, it's a great story because when Armani Goodwin went out, we were like, all right, well, Williams and Emery are going to have to carry this team on the ground. And, I mean, for the most part, they did it. I mean, Jaden Daniels, I know, like we said, his runs came in the red zone. And I love that because from a Denbrock perspective, I've been hoping that they used him a little bit more creatively in the run game. Because early in the season, it was just scrambles. And now it looks like they're actually figuring out how to use him without putting him in a lot of danger. So
right,
it's interesting because the run game is kind of what salted the game away against Auburn. That's what they needed. And it went away against Tennessee, and now it's back. They ran the ball for, 4.5 yards a carry pretty much. So you'll take that any day of the week. Anything else offensively that stood out? I mean, it's just
a crisp
game. It was
game.
A surprise.
They scored on the they didn't punt until the fourth quarter on their seventh possession. The first 6 possessions, they scored a touchdown every time.
And then even after, like you said, so 6 touchdowns, 7th possession, punt, 8th possession, they drive down the field, wear down the defense, or wear down Florida, kill clock, and get a field goal out of it with like 2.5 minutes left.
Perfect game.
Like, you can't ask for anything more. And from a Denbrock perspective, I think It was a really well-called game. And obviously, a lot of Jane Daniels' success has to be attributed to him as well.
Well, and nobody said tonight, this offense, Denbrock's offense, can't work in the SEC.
Exactly. Nobody said that.
They dropped 45, and it looked very crisp the whole time, and there weren't a lot of bad play calls or designs. I mean, it wasn't a gripe game. They just kept scoring. They kept moving the chains. They were balanced.
Taylor had two.
Nine different players caught a pass, 350 yards, 49 yards.
Yeah.
But overall, so thoughts, final thoughts. I know we have plenty of time to look ahead to Ole Miss, but
yeah.
I go back to where I started. 5-2 with a win here is so much different than 4-3.
Yeah. I mean, that's our whole thing is if you look at the head of the schedule, it's Ole Miss by Alabama, Arkansas, UAB, A&M. And so now if you go 2-2 in the SEC with the UAB win, we're looking at 8-4 team.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
Woo!
But
8-4 team would be.
You should beat UAB. So again, 6 wins and then 4 games to, and every game you win, you're at 7, you're at 8, whatever it might be. So
yeah, I mean, it's again, it's kind of like it's icing at that point, right?
No doubt.
Like if you beat A&M at the end of the year to go 8-4, it's icing. And no doubt. So that with that in mind, that's why this game was so big. I hesitated to use the word pivotal in a lot of my previews and recaps and stuff because, you know, it's a game against Florida, you know, it's two teams that are in the middle of the pack in the SEC, but this win not only shows that Brian Kelly is succeeding in instilling culture, but he's a good football coach.
Oh, well,
which we knew, obviously. We knew. Talked about on the last podcast when we turned the camera on.
You don't coach for 30-something years and win that many games and not be a good football
coach. But it's the product is already translating to the field.
No doubt.
And that's the biggest thing is that you're starting to see a proof of concept here that we weren't sure was going to show up in year one. You know, where are they going to go? 8-4. Where are they going to go? 6-6. Where are they going to go? 5-7. Like we didn't know. In the long run, we always believed like, yeah, they're going to win games with Brian Kelly, head coach. We didn't know how fast. This win at least starts to set a standard to be like, okay, maybe they can be this good. Maybe they can be this good. Maybe they can be 7 wins, 8 wins. We don't know. So that for that from that perspective, and not I mean 45 points. 45 points from this offense, like on paper, like after the Auburn game,
530 yards. I mean, it's big time.
I said that we said last week, or at least the board was saying last week, if you can't score on Tennessee, who can you score against?
And Florida had one of the top pass. I mean, they were bringing in the top pass defense, one of them in the SEC.
So
they threw all over them all night long.
I mean, Jaden Daniels might have to just keep taking the over on whatever his passing prop is because it looks like they figured some things out in the passing game. Now, I don't know.
One week at a time.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I'm expecting Kayshawn to go like 80 plus yards a week from here on.
I am.
Oh, you are.
I just think that's what he is.
I agree. You know, he is that talented.
And we saw tonight he had some yards after the catch, 36 yards after the catch. So he was making some plays after contact.
Yeah.
That's what Kayshawn does.
That's going to be the interesting because that changes the dynamic of the team. If they can find Kayshawn consistently on different routes, on, you know, deep routes, intermediate routes, short routes, and I thought they mixed it up well with him, then that just opens up the field for everybody. And that's going to be a really big development I'll be watching.
And it looks like the only drops they logged on the stat sheet would be Butte when fourth quarter they threw a fastball at his hip on a third down.
Weird.
I'm not holding that. He's good for me there if that's his only one. And then it looks like they tagged Brian Thomas Jr. with one, which I'm going to presume would be the play where he actually caught it and they reversed it.
He mossed him and then it came down and it was like weird.
That was a catch.
I don't know.
Can't tag him. That's not a drop.
I don't know.
To me.
It's not a drop. It's not
That's
a drop.
That's not a drop to
it's
me.
Not a drop.
So kudos to the receivers. They all did a good job catching the football tonight.
Yeah.
Kudos to everyone on offense.
We're hoping. Yeah. We don't know. I don't know Jack Besh's injury at this point.
It just looked like he got hit pretty hard.
Yeah. I mean,
there.
he was on the sideline. I don't know. Again, I won't speculate. Whatever. Whether it was concussion back or whatever it was, he was on the sideline. Fine.
Just hanging.
So he was. That was good. Again,
big win.
Yeah. Ole Miss next week. We expect Dellinger to be out again. Good win. I think we'll be out again.
Yeah, they hold all those guys till after the bye.
So, yeah, especially with the bye week coming up.
Yeah.
You can get by. And so, other than that, I thought it was an interesting week. I'm trying to think of anybody else. I mean, Bernard Converse got beat on a go or on a deep post.
I mean, they gave up a couple. They gave up two really big plays that, again, had you not given those up, this game might have even looked a lot more, may have been pretty lopsided.
I mean, if they don't muff the punt, they're honestly probably taking a two touchdown.
I'll show you a good way to close down this podcast, Matt, on a very positive
note.
Or I guess that drives home how good LSU's offense was. The touchdown drives were 75 yes. yards, 73 yards, 75 yards, 83 yep. yards, 75 yards, yep. 88 yards. Yep. None of them were, you gave it to nope. me at the 10 and I just punched it in. None of them were a pick six, you know, nothing of that nature. It was, you kicked it off, we had a touchback, we drove it the whole 75 yards.
Yep, consistent. I included that in my recap. That's a great stat. So yeah.
That's impressive.
Huge, huge win. 528 yards of offense, 45 points. Whew. And just like that, LSU is 5-2, 3-1 in conference.
Just as we expected, as you predicted.
The same conference record as Alabama at this point now. Mm-hmm. So
there you go.
There you go.
Take some salvation there you go. Home with that, I guess.
But all right, we will have the Mailbag Up podcast out tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll have this out tomorrow. You know, I guess this you'll be hearing this Sunday or whenever it goes up. Yeah. But a great game. And they got run by Tennessee at home. To go on the road a week later and do this was kudos. Yeah. Speak some volumes. Yeah. I'm more confident what they can do down the stretch now.
I mean, yeah, the Tennessee loss to me doesn't even look that bad anymore.
Well, it just is what it is.
I don't know. After watching that Tennessee
game. You didn't show up ready. You made mistakes. You got run.
Yeah, and if they didn't make those early mistakes, you know, who knows if it's a closer game.
Anyway. Probably not. They're a little bit better than LSU is.
Just a little bit better. I'm interested to see how the polls come out. But, all right, that's all we have for y'all today. We will post mailbag questions tonight for the Monday podcast. So check that out if you're not already. Those are for subscribers only. Become a subscriber for $1 for an entire year. Still rolling. About to get into basketball season in like 2 weeks. So, or the first game's in less than a month. So
keep it rocking.
We'll keep that rocking. But yeah, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Leave us a 5-star rating and review wherever you are listening. We appreciate y'all for joining us. We appreciate y'all for joining us, and we'll talk to y'all later.